So we'll be learning from the preacher, as the book speaks of, thus says the preacher, Solomon, King Solomon, to give us wisdom on many things. And in this case, a very familiar passage, Ecclesiastes chapter 3. We're going to give our attention to verses 1 and 4, and primarily on verse 4. We look at verse 1, which is kind of a setup idea for the rest of the verses. We'll look at that first, and it's setting us up for verse 4. So we'll be focusing on verse 4 in context, especially verse 1. Let me read for us verses 1 through 4, and then I'll repeat verses 1 and 4. Hear now the word of the Lord. To everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. The verses go on with familiar verses, and I think for most of us, a familiar pop song, folk song from years ago. But let me repeat verses 1 and 4. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. May God bless this, the reading and the preaching and the hearing of his holy word. Well, per the bulletin announcement, session has mandated that I take extra paid vacation the next 2 weeks. So just a reminder, I'll be here, but we'll have video sermons and we'll take a break on Wednesday night services. And we'll be in town. We're going to be doing kind of staycation things. I'll still be working my other job, but they were recognizing a need for me to take a break. And it took them about a half an hour to get me to submit. I think Elder Renner said to Elder Maxwell, have you ever seen anybody fight so much to take extra vacation at no cost? I was just concerned that I would have enough time to plan it. I was concerned to try to get a few more things done in order, have a little more time to try to think about how to use it best. But they were concerned for my health. As I had mentioned to them, I had some physical symptoms this week that I have had over the last 5 years when I have a particular lack of sleep and a significant amount of extra stressful busyness. Not necessarily stress from difficult things, just busyness. And they were concerned about that, and so they know I need a break. I was concerned, however, to be able to have a plan for such a break, and so I finally accepted the answer, basically, you just have to plan to play. Figure it out as you go. Just start. And so that I have time to plan, so that I have time to play, and this will afford us that. So I'm thankful for the tough love of the elders, and we're going to submit to it. And I did think of it, something that helped me submit to it. I thought about Westminster Larger Catechism 135 about the duties required in the sixth commandment. The sixth commandment being, thou shalt not kill. And some of the things that are included, as we know from the Larger Catechism, thou shalt not kill, include a sober use of labor. So we have to do an appropriate amount of work. We need to be working hard and enough, but also not too much. A sober use of sleep. We need to make sure we get enough sleep, and that's in Psalm 127 we sang. But also what we focus on today, a sober use of recreations. Sometimes people think of the Puritans as killjoys and always work and no play and thus dull boys and perhaps tyrants. But in fact, they very much understood the need for rest and recreation. You'll hear about how Dad would often wrestle with the kids in the home, and there were different ways they enjoyed their recreation, enjoyed the outdoors. They very much understood the need for this. In fact, remember, this is given to us by our Puritan fathers, the Westminster Standards, and they are saying that thou shalt not kill requires of us, it is a duty of us, to recreate, to play, to have breaks, to have fun. Scheduled planning time, or just in the moment, a spontaneous moment you take to play, to have fun. Some of us need to keep that in mind and not overthink a vacation, right? Some of us plan a vacation so much it's no fun for anyone else. We got to do this. We got to get there now. We're on a schedule. You know? That may be fun sometimes, but you know. And then others of us, we don't want to do anything. And the others, well, I'd like to enjoy other things, you know. So there's a balance here. And you have to think about where you fit in that spectrum. Nonetheless, there's a place for play. There's a commandment to play. We've recently considered the need for sleep and how sleep is a gift of God. It's a blessing. We've often studied the need for rest, especially as we think of the Lord's Day. And when, Lord willing, we get back to Deuteronomy and where we are in Deuteronomy and the Ten Commandments, we will go to the largest commandment and the center and the signature of God's people, a day of rest, a day of rest. Today, we revisit the need to recreate, and we have looked at it before, and so we will do it again, the need to recreate. Have you ever been in a parking lot afraid you're about to be in an accident or hit someone? I remember, 6 months ago, somebody yelled at me when I was walking in the parking lot because I guess I came too close to them, and I didn't even notice. I didn't even know what they were talking about. I was real tired. I was distracted trying to get on my way to work, stopped at Ralph's to just get something for breakfast, and I didn't even know. But parking lots can be a dangerous place. In fact, parking lots are where most low-speed accidents occur. A lot of times they'll say to the kids, all right, I need you to particularly be quiet right now. We're in a parking lot. I got to focus. Because that's where low-speed accidents happen the most. Why? Because there's a lot of cars and a lot less space, right? And unlike the highway, where we're all moving in the same direction, although getting on and off can be a challenge, we're all kind of going around like a bunch of ants, or maybe not as organized as ants, right? And tighter spaces, a lot of people walking around, you got to really pay attention to. That's why when we're crossing, including in the parking lots, we're always saying, watch out, kids, look for the cars. Look for the cars. Also, stray shopping carts. And it's just a lot easier to be distracted. I was at Costco this week getting gas, and I nearly clipped a man when I was trying to leave. Now, I was aware he was there. He was pumping gas in his tank, and it was real tight. And I was done, and I was trying to get into the middle lane where you drive through to get out. But there was a gigantic pickup truck on the other side, and he just kept doing these little K-turn kind of things to adjust and get right where he needed to be. I thought he was done, and then I guess he didn't see me, and he started to turn almost right into me. I had to honk the horn. And at that moment, the man pumping the gas kind of did this to my van and said, hey, careful, and he moved out of the way. I felt horrible. I moved on. I parked the car, and I ran up to him and said, sir, I'm so sorry. Did I hit you? He said, no, you didn't hit me. It's okay. We're fine. He was thankfully very kind and forgiving about it. But that's the idea of these parking lots and things, right? All these extra things and distractions and busyness. There is more chance with all that kinetic energy to have an accident. Busyness distracts and can cause accidents. I think of that related to John Downham's book on the cure for unjust anger that we studied recently on Wednesday night, and an article was done for Place for Truth magazine. He really counsels, when he's talking about avoiding unjust anger, he counsels avoid too much busyness. He has a little special section where he discusses this. And I quote, "The mind is distracted and disturbed with abundant busyness and thus made a suitable dwelling place for anger. When we are too busy, something is bound to go wrong." Wise counsel. Made me think of Psalm 127, verses 1 to 2, that we sang this morning. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. He's saying, don't get up early and go to bed late and wear yourself ragged. Trust the Lord is going to build the house. You do what you're supposed to do within the bounds of what you're supposed to do. And remember that you're not God. So at the end of the day, you just got to go home and say, I did the best I could. I'll have to leave the rest till tomorrow. And it's not a pushing it off. It's just you've done what you can. As long as you know you've done what you can. And so many interruptions can happen where you just are surprised what you don't get done. But God is saying, I build, and you are in vain to think it all depends upon you and your hard work. And we need to be reminded of that. God can do it with or without us. Now, we know he calls us to look to the ant, and we know he uses means. Nonetheless, we are not his only means. You and I are not his one and only means, right? We have to trust him, and he knows what he's doing. Notice that word vanity. It's vain to get up late or to get up early and to go to bed late and just exhaust yourself with never taking a break or never making time for any fun. And you could think about it in the context of the psalm, no fun with your children, perhaps, right? Because you're working yourself so much and you're not trusting God to provide for all of you in the moment, in the day. Jesus says, let today be sufficient. Well, what does the preacher say? What's a regular refrain in Ecclesiastes by the preacher? All is vanity. All is vanity. There's just a point when you need to take a break and play to clear your head and reset your energy and trust God to provide. And if you don't do that, you become less and less effective and you become more and more dangerous of destroying the very work you're trying to improve. So I agreed. And I'm going to take a break so that I can play. It isn't exactly what I planned on, but they've given me 2 extra weeks of pay. What a fool not to take it. God will take care of everything else. Yes, I still got the other job to work, but this affords me some time to play in the meantime. Summer's passing us by quickly. I'll have time to reset a bit, including taking care of things at home on my to-do list that I have not had time for and stress me out every time I pass them in the hallway and stress out others, which includes organizing my desk. I'm looking for accountability on that one. I'm pretty sure my wife will say amen to that. Can we have accountability? This is the week that I organize my desk and get it all together and organize files. It's one of those things for me, until I feel like I have time to focus, I have got to have enough time to think and organize. Otherwise, I'm cleaning it up and I won't know where anything is. But another thing I'm looking for accountability on, I'm going to have time to plan to play. It's probably going to include a bike ride we've talked about for a long time as a family. It's also going to include, Lord willing, what we've been saying for a few weeks now, getting a hotel for a couple of days and using that pool. We are having fun at the YMCA, but it's tough to figure out the right time to go and everything. And just to have a chance to just go and, you know, not worry about back and forth and driving. And just all we have to worry about is trying not to make the hallway too wet on our way back up, you know, back and forth. And having breakfast, we don't have to cook, you know, even though that's not like we're that, you know, chefs, it'll be nice. You see, there are times for everything, including silly playtime. And I give that to you as the main idea of verse 4 of Ecclesiastes 3 in its context. There are times for everything, including silly playtime. The Hebrew word for laugh, when it says there's a time to laugh, it can literally be translated play or playful. That's one of the words given in the lexicon, or sporting. Now, sometimes it can be a mocking, kind of a teasing, but, you know, have that idea of playing. Like, you go swimming, you kind of splash each other, you know, or you have playtime wrestling with the boys, pretend you're going to put each other on the back, you know. Just this idea of a spirited fun in this context. Playtime. There's a time to play. And interesting, that time of laughing is in contrast with grief and mourning. And, you know, even in those times of great mourning and difficulty, we have found that medicine, remember another sermon, laughter is like a medicine, right? A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And so there's times to just say, you know what? Everything's not worked out, figured out, but we're going to make a moment to watch this thing that makes us laugh our heads off. You know, we're just going to take a moment to play and have laugh and sport to survive and to thrive and move forward. That's the contrast here, really, which is interesting. But just in general, it doesn't have to be in contrast to a great travesty. Just the day-to-day grind, there is a time to play. There are times for everything, including silly playtime. Now, I preached on Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1, a while ago, a little over a year ago, and the message was, this is your time. Whatever time you find yourself in, this is your time. This is God's will under heaven, as the Ecclesiastes speak of. God is overseeing it, and he is governing it. It's his part of his plan. It's appropriate. There's an appointed time. The word time in these sections has the idea of an appointed season, if you will. There's a time for everything. There's a place for fall. There's a place for spring. There's a place for summer. There's a place for winter. There's a place for fighting. There's a place for peace. All these different things. It just depends on the moment and the context. But recognize the moment. And the appropriate moment, and the need at the moment. I taught then that all seasons of life are part of living out God's purposes for our lives, and that includes laughter and play. Now, I preached that section when we were still in lockdown for COVID, and we were only having webcast worship. And it was to deal with the time of COVID and having all this extra time on our hands in some ways. I know a lot of pastors feel like it's only given us more work, you know, as we've had to figure out how to be creative with ministry and take care of webcasts and online things we've never had to worry about before, you know, can tend to be more work. But generally, there's this idea that we had more time and it was our time and we should make good use of it. And it's part of God's plan. There's a time to mourn, there's a time to rest, and there's a time to renew your time. And of course, we know from Ephesians, it's always time to renew our time, for the days are evil. So we have to think about how to properly redeem our time, that is, so that we use it properly. And that sometimes is the best way you're going to redeem your time is to play. Some of the most wonderful moments at our home is when one of the little guys are doing something cute and we just start playing with them like their little robot. Grandma sent Carmelita, Grandma Vovo in Portuguese, sent a cute little robot. I've never seen anything like it. It spins around, makes this amazing red line, and does all these funny music. And as soon as we opened the box, put the battery in, and that thing started dancing and spinning, Gabriel and Isaac just started, you know, dancing around with it and laughing like crazy. And then Dad and Mom did, and it was just so much fun, and it really was a relief. It was just a nice little moment and a blessing. And these are the kinds of things that we need to take advantage of. There's a place for such things. There's a place to take a break, even in the moment, and just go play a little bit and come back. Sometimes it means to recreate this laughter, to recreate, to play. The Westminster Larger Catechism 135 says we need to have a sober amount of recreation so that we don't kill each other, right? Whether it's literal or figurative. Remember, Jesus says, if you hate, if you have anger and unforgiveness, you are guilty of murder. You are guilty in his commands as the king of killing one another when you hate and you're angry. And sometimes when we're very tired and unrested and we don't have enough play, it brings that on. And the command is, so then get your proper rest and sleep and get your proper play and do not make any excuses for it. Because we have to set ourselves up not to kill each other. And it says we have to have a sober use of recreations. That word sober means to be alert, self-controlled, deliberate, aware. Careful moderation, not too much, but not too little. Not too little is just as important as not too much. Yes, if we play all the time, then we don't work, we don't get a paycheck, and the Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat. You know, so of course we have to work, and most of the time work, and work hard. But if we work too much, and we have too little play, we don't have a proper balance, and we're in danger of killing each other. If not literally, although sometimes with hatred and anger and bitterness and strife and spite and unforgiveness. And frankly, when we're not rested and we're not recreated, we can tend to see things that are not even there because we're so irritable and tired and testy. That's why I often tell the family, I got to go take a nap. I know you've heard this before. It's not you, it's me. I can feel it. I have to go sleep, or I have to go for a bike ride right now. I have to do something like that, and I feel like a different person when I do that. It's my responsibility to do that, not only for me, but for thou shalt not kill. We have to avoid excesses, but we also have to avoid shortages, in this case, of recreation. Sometimes good Christian counseling of one another could say to a person, well, are you having any time for play? Are you ever having fun? And some people might just say, I thought you were Reformed. I thought you were Puritan. Say, yeah, exactly. We're Reformed and Puritan. We know you need to have fun. You need to have some time for play. Now, of course, moderate and appropriate, but you need to have it. When I preached on the Westminster Larger Catechism 135, remember, it took about 4.5 years to go through the Westminster Larger Catechism. When I preached on that, part three of that, the third sermon in that question and answer, I preached on Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 4 and 11. Let's look at 4 with 11. A time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. And now verse 11, he hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. The point of that text I gave you, of those verses together, was this. The preacher says that God's perfect secret timing allows for and approves appropriate rejoicing. And the sermon message for you was, the point of it was this, make time for proper play. Make time for proper play. Essentially, what we're saying today, although in a little bit of a different focus, make time for proper play. The main points of that sermon were this. Get enough to eat, so it was looking at the other important things, the sober use of other things along with recreation. Get enough to eat, drink properly. You know, I definitely notice when I'm starting to crash, it is related to lack of sleep and stress, but it can also be, I felt it yesterday, I'm like, I've really got to eat, I'm feeling funny. And I stopped to eat and drink. I've talked about before, it's important to be hydrated, especially in Southern California. And it's important, I highly encourage using electrolytes in your water. I've learned about that from some fellows that are particularly successful in sports. And he says, you'll never see me not drinking a bottle of water in my hand, and I'll almost never have a bottle of water without electrolytes in it, because it makes your cells able to absorb a lot more of the water than it otherwise could and hold on to it. So get enough to eat, drink properly, use medical support properly. It talks about a sober use of physic. Get proper sleep. We need enough sleep, and we've talked about that again recently. And maintain a proper workflow. Have a proper amount of work, not too little, but also not too much, that allows for these other things. And then lastly, enjoy appropriate amounts of appropriate recreation. Now we highlight the word appropriate. There's plenty of recreation that would not be appropriate, does not really bring rest or rejuvenation when you think about it, especially if it's going to influence us in sinful thinking and sinful attitudes. Here are some other things I said in the sermon that I was thankful to review and I pass on to you today. Having fun helps take the edge off living in a sad world. It helps you cope so you don't kill. You must take life seriously, but that includes seriously living life. And that includes making time for play so you stay healthy. Body and soul. And so you don't kill the body and soul of yourselves or others. To preserve life, make merry and make time for proper play. You see, it takes effort to relax, doesn't it? I mean, some of us who are task-driven, I love to check things off my list, and I struggle to move on until I've at least got enough done or done sufficiently, right? I'll just stay a little longer to get that completely done. The next thing I know, oh boy, I'm not leaving when I said I was going to leave, right? It takes effort to relax. You have to think ahead. You have to plan and prepare for it, or you have to just be willing to spontaneously make a moment, but it takes an effort. It takes deliberation. You must deliberate to recreate. Sometimes you just need to make some room to breathe, make some room to think, make some room to renew. I'm finding I'm lacking an ability to concentrate more and more. I'm lacking an ability to remember things more and more. And that's a sign the battery's low and I need to go charge it with play and recreation. So I can come back and work hard and work better. Same for you. You can work yourself to the bone with no muscle left for strength or flexibility. And then we're in danger of killing. Westminster Larger Catechism question and answer 136, what is forbidden in the sixth commandment? So we looked at duties required in the sixth, then we look at what is forbidden in the sixth, and there's an interesting overlap. Distracting cares and immoderate use of labor. So we know that we have to have a sober use of labor enough, but also if we have an immoderate use of labor, if we work too much, if we work too hard, and we don't allow any time for us to play or play with our families and friends and our church, if we only do busy things with church and programs and we never just have playtime and fellowship, which is why it would be lovely we can come back to more of those things, we're in danger. And that part of that catechism saying it's forbidden to overwork yourself gave us a number of scriptures. I include a couple other ones, but also in Ecclesiastes. Look back to chapter 2 of Ecclesiastes, verses 22 and 23. For what hath man of all his labor, and of the vexation of his heart, wherein he hath labored under the sun? For all his days are sorrows, and his travail, grief, yea, his heart taketh not rest in the night. This is also vanity. So he says, what's the point of working yourself where you never get a break and you don't get proper rest? It's emptiness, it's vanity. Nothing's going to come of it. And as he says in a lot of the book, and you don't know what you leave onto your kids, you don't know what's going to be done with it, what you leave onto others in the church, you don't know. You do your best you can, but don't kill yourself over it because you don't have control of what's going to be done with it next. Do the best you can, but don't kill yourself and end up ruining it in the moment and for those after yourselves. Look back to chapter 3, verses 9 to the beginning of verse 11. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. We just got to trust God's made everything beautiful in his time. And if he's given us a moment to play with a robot with the kids, take it, don't miss it. There's many times where we have to try to be careful to stop and listen to our children when we're in the busyness of just stuff. And we miss those moments sometimes that are beautiful moments. He makes everything beautiful in his time. And those moments of play are beautiful, and they are ordained and appointed times of God under heaven for us. Notice, he makes everything beautiful in his time. So when you take a break and you play, you can actually maybe see that more. He makes everything beautiful. You know, I'm pausing right now. I got all these things on my mind, all these things on my shoulders. I don't know how I'm going to get the work done. I don't know how I'm ever going to get ahead. I don't feel like I can afford to take this time right now, but I'm going to take it because he makes everything beautiful in his time, which means in the right time, all the other things will happen and he'll get it done. And if it's not according to my timeline, then I can get over it, right? God has a perfect timeline and I don't know what it is. I know I have to keep working towards what the best I know and then leave it in his hands. And when you take a break to play, you're showing you trust God and you trust his providence and his perfect timing. And you can say, he makes all things beautiful in his time. This is a beautiful moment. And whenever those other things get done or they don't get done, it'll be according to his beautiful time plan. God is in control and I am not. It's time to play. Look with me ahead to chapter 11 of Ecclesiastes, verse 12. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 12. Oh, excuse me, there is no Ecclesiastes 11, verse 12. I must have a typo. Let me see if it's verse 10. Forgive me, I'm going to have to look that up. I'm not sure what that error means. This is a sign I need my vacation, right? Please forgive me. It's all right. We get the idea with the other verses we've already looked at. We need a time to reset. And I want to remind you about a book I've quoted a while ago called Reset. It was actually sent to me in the mail after we took our trip to Australia, which you understand was a very stressful time of life. That was a great trip, but it was also a stressful trip. and many great memories. But one of the men there sent me this book as a gift. And he said, this book has been helping me a lot, and I think it'll be a blessing to you. And I read it. And one of the first things I did was give it to another elder, and he reminded it of me. And I said, ah, I'm going to use that for the sermon. By the way, most of the sermon and the sermon tonight are ideas of one of the elders I had a conversation with. But there's a book called Reset by David Murray, and there's a similar book by his wife for women. Now, David Murray wrote this book because he found himself in the hospital. He was a pastor, I think about my age at the time, and a seminary professor, and his body began to shut down on him. There was no accident. It just started to severely shut down. And the doctor was telling him, you're not going to likely survive if you don't change your lifestyle. And he said, you know, I learned that we have to have a grace-paced life. We want to be like the marathon runner. We pace ourselves so that we make it to the finish line. Now, we who are perfectionists and we who are, as some might say, type A personalities, you know, have to accomplish a lot, we can end up wiping ourselves out and everyone around us where we don't get to the finish line, or some of us don't. And he said, I realize I have to pace myself better. I have to make room for play. I have to make room for rest. I have to start saying no to some things and to some people. I can't do it all. It is destroying me, literally. I might die. He listened to his doctor, and he started to make changes, and then he got away from those changes, just like we do. Guess what happened? Back in the hospital. Almost died again. Serious health problem. One of the elders said to me, I'm afraid you're going to have a heart attack. And I have been having symptoms lately that I have at these moments where I'm a little afraid of that too. I don't think I will. I think I've learned how to manage by God's grace with little sleep and a lot of work. But I have to say, I'm not God. I'm only human. And if I don't listen to my elders, what does the Bible say about that? What we'll hear tonight. They were essentially rebuking me, right? But in a good way. They were tough with me when I kind of rebelled against it at first. In fact, they anticipated it. They're like, you could see them bracing themselves for my answer, you know. And they had to rebuke me, and I had to take it. And the Bible says, if you can't take a rebuke, you're a fool. And would I not be a fool not to take extra vacation at pay to help me? Yeah, one other said, amen, finally he's seen the light. You know, his face in the meeting was, his face now is, finally he gets it. And you know what he said to me, and he almost cried, I'm afraid that instead of seeing you in the pulpit, I'm going to be standing at your burial if you don't listen to me. And I'm, by God's grace, listening, but we can be so proud, and we don't want to listen to people, and we will not hear what they have to say to us. More in that scripture from Ecclesiastes tonight. We have to have an obedient heart, that is, a listening, hearing heart. And this is an area I'm not a very good listener about. And I think the elders are struggling right now to say amen. That's the truth. So this book, Reset, he's challenging, especially ministers, you got to pace yourself. So much extra tends to fall on a minister of a small church, right? There's no staff to be able to turn to for a lot of the nitty-gritty. And you want to get it all done, and you don't want to leave the people. You want to make sure they have what they need. But the concern is, and by God's grace, the elders are essentially saying, we need you. So how about we keep you around? And, you know, I don't know whether that would be a danger of whether it would happen, but we're not God, but we don't know. But we do know what his word says, and he says there's a proper time for play, and it is required of you that not only that you don't kill others with hatred, that you don't kill yourself literally. So you need to all ask yourselves, are you having enough play time? We think about that for our children, right? It's important that they get playtime. If they don't get playtime, they can get angry, they can get upset, they have trouble sleeping and being proper behavior. It's important to get the kids proper playtime. Well, kids, you and I, kids, we're kids too, we're God's children. We need proper playtime too. That may be some of you going to the gun range. That may be some of you getting out to Julian. That may be some of you getting to a car show. That may be some of you taking a walk. That may be some of you walking on the pier at the ocean, but you can't keep saying, I'll do it next week. It may be reading a book you've been meaning to read and excusing yourself from other things and not answering the phone for an hour regardless, or the doorbell, so that you can read that book and enjoy it. He has a chapter, David Murray, in his book Reset called Recreate. But he puts a hyphen in there to help us think about recreation is recreation. It's refreshing. It's recreating what we kind of diminish in ourselves. And in that chapter, Recreate, he writes this. We must nurture our lives with regular recreation, especially physical exercise. Now, before I share more of his quote, Mr. Renner shared with me this week an email about that, the importance of movement and exercise, not just for your body, but for your soul and your happiness. So on my list of things to do this week is to get extra swim time at the Y. When we go to the Y and we swim, we come back feeling refreshed, recreated, like completely new people. My other thing I'm going to do that I never felt I just couldn't have time to pull it off is I'm going to find a second bike. I've been talking about doing that for like 6 months. I've been gaining a lot of weight again. All of my work, both jobs, I'm at a desk all day. I try to get up and walk and move around a little bit, but and a lot of times those are very long hours of just not moving. And by the way, I think you know, one of my pastor friends, he has a taller desk and he doesn't sit. He has no chair. Because a lot of people have taught us today that sitting is the new smoking. Sitting and a lack of movement will kill you. Your body needs the blood flow and the circulation of your endocrine system and all these things. By the way, your endocrine system doesn't have a pump like your circulatory system. Your health, your endocrine system, is what it depends on is movement, particularly exercise, or you don't pump the flow. And so I'm planning on, this is another accountability thing, I'm going to find a used bike and I'm going to keep it at the church because so often I get back, I'm too tired or it's too late. I'm going to have a second bike at the church so that often I can take a lunch break, maybe just 20, 30 minutes, and I'll ride around Paradise Hills and I'll just break a sweat and I'll come back and get back to work. I have to do that. There's no excuse. And now I've been afforded a little bit of time to go find that bike that I never feel like I have time to go get. Now, Mr. Renner's email to me about this movement need, he sent me, I don't know who the source was, but this is from some other source that he forwarded to me. In part, it reads this, being active even for just 7 minutes a day increases happiness. Do you have 7 minutes a day that you could exercise and play? See, my problem is, if I can't exercise for 30 minutes or a good hour, I'm not going to do it. What's the point? 7 minutes a day will make you happier? Hello! Eureka! Ding, 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 ding. 7 minutes a day of play is going to make me happier? What am I waiting on? That's like one or two songs on my iPad. I don't have an iPad. Why did I say iPad? On my iPhone, right? Two songs, play, jump around, shoot a basketball, run around with the kids, do some push-ups, somersaults. I don't know. You do not want to see me attempt a somersault, nor a cartwheel at this time of my life. But something, 7 minutes a day increases happiness. It goes on to say, exercise is so powerful, it's even been shown to be effective treatment for depression. When you're depressed, one of the most important things you do is get out and go do something, even if it's walking, even if it's shopping. I can't relate to that. I'm a man. Just get me in and out. But, you know, some of you were like, what do you mean? But something, just get out, walking, and do something, and watch the clouds begin to go away. This is not to make light of depression. You know, we've had a sermon and a study recently on depression. It's a real thing. Jesus was depressed. He dealt with it with prayer. But we have to be responsible. Psalm 42, how are we going to work through it? One of the best ways you can work through it is move. Walk. Exercise, garden, do something. Whatever you can at your stage of situation in life, do it. It might be you're sitting and you're doing those little hand weights, those light hands, something. Stretching. My doctor has told me every year, and he says it's the same problem. He's about my age, and we're both saying, yeah, we got to lose weight. And we never really do what we say we're going to do, and not the best. He says there's just a few things that if we all did, we would be so much more healthy. And you know one of the things he emphasized? Stretching. Just stretch. I almost want to ask you to do that right now. If you just, you know, do a little bit of this, all of a sudden, whoa, feel the blood flowing, right? Just, if you would just stretch for 7 minutes, whatever it is, whatever you can do, you know, next thing you know, I'm feeling all right. I'm feeling better anyways. The last part says, an image shows, or no, excuse me, actually, I'm sharing from the message. It had a visual image, and it showed an image of a brain scan. The first brain was a brain that was inactive. The second brain scan was of a brain that had just walked for 20 minutes. There was so much more color and activity in the second brain scan. As an example of all that movement and activity does, and it doesn't have to be Olympics, you know, and your brain is moving and active and improving and you're feeling better and the endorphins and all those hormones and things kick in, and you can see it. You can see it in a visual scan of your brain after you've gotten some movement. I go back to the book Reset by David Murray, and I quote him here, still in the chapter on recreation. He says this, people who exercise also have been shown to be more, oh no, excuse me, this is not David yet, this is still the email from Mr. Renner, forgive me. You can see again, I need vacation. People who exercise have also been shown to be more body positive, even when no physical changes happen in their bodies. Moving your body can also strengthen your willpower, reduce bad behaviors, and make healthier food choices. Are you having a problem eating the wrong things? We all like our comfort food when we're feeling sad and depressed, right? Well, when you start exercising and all of a sudden that belly, you ever feel that? Just one time, a little bit on the treadmill, your belly feels tighter. Next thing you know, you're kind of motivated to eat something a little healthier. Instead of that Twinkie, I'm going to grab the banana or whatever it is, you know, the celery stick. It's like just moving and exercising can even impact making healthier food choices, which help us feel better as our bodies improve. But even before our bodies improve, we feel better about our bodies. And of course, movement isn't just about our body. It's also about our mind. We need to free up time for our mind of overload and burnout by allowing time to reformat and reboot with recreating. Again, for myself and many of you, a lot of my work is on the computer all day. Taking a liberty, the eye doctor recently, they said how much this strains your eyes. A lot of times when I'm driving home at night, I can't read the signs anymore. I don't need new glasses. I'm just so tired. My eyes can't focus. I know it's a stop sign, but I can't really read the word stop. In the morning, I can read it no problem. Or if it's an evening where I haven't been on the computer all day and reading books all day, it's not a problem. We just got to recognize we need to give ourselves a break, but not just for physical things, but even just the subject matter for variety and fun. Sometimes just to play games, walking the pier at the ocean, fishing, another thing on my to-do list. Some of my boys are saying amen. Enjoying an appropriate book or a movie. Now, systematic theologies and devotions are great, but sometimes it can be nice to read a how-to book, a hobby book, or a nice summer mystery novel. Sometimes when I read other books that I love to get through, I end up having so many wonderful illustrations and interesting connections to share with you in sermons. And when I'm not able to make time for that, I get a little dry. I don't know if you feel it, but I feel it. I start to get a little repetitive or a little less imaginative with things. And then I have these amazing things to share with you just because I've been able to read books on other things. If you don't turn some playful pages with your fingers will tighten and shake. Now, back to John Murray for real this time, the book Reset. This is a pretty interesting illustration. I hope you all can hear this. This is really powerful. He writes this. When my father was a dentist, so David Murray, I might have said John Murray, David Murray who wrote this book because he was almost going to die twice and he needed to find a way to pace himself. He says, you know, when my father was a dentist, he told me that by looking at a person's teeth, he could tell how much money that person earned and whether he was in good overall health. Wow. I'm afraid to ask my dentist what he knows about me. But you know, I didn't take care of my teeth for 10 years while I was in seminary and working, and I've spent the next 10 years completely reworking the inside of my mouth. I should have made time for it. I didn't feel like I had time for it. Now I have to. And it's expensive and painful and exhausting. I hope I'm through most of it. He goes on to say, one little part of the body revealed so much about the whole person. He says, are we damaging or even destroying the Holy Spirit's home by our overactivity or inactivity? Too much work and not enough play. You know, I have to say it's convicting to me because my dentist has always told me that I grind my teeth at night. I don't know that I grind my teeth at night, but my dentist says you obviously grind your teeth a lot while you're sleeping. I didn't know that. I had to get a bite guard and I forget to wear it. And that's one of the reasons I've had to have cavities fixed because I've ground my teeth down so much because all of that stress is coming out while I'm sleeping. And that made me remember that my friend and you know, Pastor Jeff Stuyvesant, Dr. Jeff Stuyvesant, who I think I'm busy, this man, I don't know how he does it. He's also a seminary professor. He is also writes books. He's the editor of Place for Truth magazine. He's a caregiver of some significant health problems for others. And he said he had to go to the doctors because he was having horrible headaches. And it turned out his headaches were coming from grinding his teeth while he slept. It's going to come out somewhere. Your body has to try to deal with it somewhere. And the better thing to do is deal with it with your body and have time for recreation and play and exercise so you're not destroying yourself even literally from within, one tooth at a time, as it were. Murray also says this, living a grace-paced life receives the grace of sweating, but also the grace of chilling. So I'm hoping this 2 weeks we'll have a little time taking a chill pill. You know, chilling by the pool, chilling by the ocean, you know, chilling in this different ways of even just being able to get some things done on the to-do list that are stressful when I'm trying to fit in, and then now I can just chill and do it relaxed and be much less likely to hit my thumb and hope nobody heard me next door across the fence. You know what I mean? So, beloved, our family, really, it's stupid I fought the elders so long because our family has been saying for a while, we've got to take a break. We all need to try and get some playtime. And we've been saying maybe we can just rent a hotel for a night or two. We got to try to pick the right time, try to fit it in between church and other things. We got to try to pick a time I can work there, and we'll just make use of the pool. We can all just hang out and swim and have fun the way we just barely get a little bit of YMCA time in. We've been saying this for a while. We need to just get away to a hotel for a while with a pool so mommy can make use of it. These little kids are cute, but we always say in the morning, it's a good thing you're cute. They're working her hard. It was hard last night. And you know what? Also, she's been pregnant so often, she usually has not been able to enjoy the hot tub when we have been at a hotel for other things. So we need to do this right now, make an anointed, appointed time of play so she can jump into that hot tub and say, ah, and not worry about any youngster inside her she's got to be careful about. Even while I work the other job, this will be so helpful. I just never felt we had time to plan the right time to play. We kept saying, oh, man, you know, can we just think about it next week? And next week, let's really try. Help me remember. And then the next thing is the week went by. Ah, it's not going to work this week now, but maybe next week we can figure out. Maybe a Monday and a Tuesday. I don't know. No, that's not going to work. Maybe. Okay, well, now I have no choice but to play. Actually, I have no excuse. I can plan a little pool time, a little time at the hotel, just a little time to relax, get my bike, take us fishing, get a little extra stuff done with the kids they've needed my help with, and I've only been able to do so in little bits here and there and not been able to really think and devote like I'd like to. Now we've been given that time. We've been saying, I want to say for a few weeks, and it's probably been a few months, we really need to take a vacation together, a brief, because you know, we're thinking ahead for the fall, maybe planning something extended with Presbytery, possibly going to see my family together, you know, so. Okay, well, in the meantime, here's these gracious extra gifts of 2 weeks. Yeah, you can't just stop the other job, but now you have some free time to, like, breathe and play. So I say to you, elders, and the church, on behalf of my family, thank you. And I am saying, please keep me accountable, all right? That I actually do play, because I'm going to get emails about stuff for work, such as the website. I'm going to have to let that go for 2 weeks. And if I don't, slap me on my hand. The world is not going to end because our new website doesn't go up for two more weeks, you know? I'm trying to get that. I'm not allowed to do things for church except the bulletins for the video sermons. I'm looking for accountability because I know myself. And I know I'll excuse myself for just a little, and the next thing you know, I've killed the day. I'm looking for accountability. I'm using this sermon as an excuse to push me out and actually use it right and to encourage and motivate you to do the same while being accountable to me in the meantime for the next 2 weeks. So we humble ourselves and we will obey our elders and we will take these 2 weeks of vacation and have some playtime. And we will encourage ourselves along the way that it's okay, that it's ordained. Remembering, as you all need to also remember in your lives and in your days and in your weeks, beginning tomorrow, it is righteous and required to recreate. You have been given a command. You've been given the opportunity to help yourself and play and let your conscience not make you feel bad about it. It is righteous and required to recreate. And in my case, not only by the word, but by my elders. It's required. Mandatory fun, as we sometimes say, right? And beloved, you need to have some mandatory fun figured out together individually and in your families and as church. Make time to play. That's how you won't kill others with hatred and you won't kill yourself, possibly physically. It is righteous and required to recreate. Let us pray. Almighty God, we do thank you that you call us to work and labor for you. And we do pray you would bless the work of our hands, especially all that we would be fruitful in reaping harvest for the kingdom. But we know that Jesus got alone to pray, rested on the Sabbath day, and we trust surely he understood play and recreation. And so we pray, Lord, especially for we who are not without sin and imperfect, our special need to play because of how prone we are to get angry and irritable when we're tired and we don't have an opportunity to refresh our minds and refresh our bodies. And it only takes 7 minutes a day sometimes, maybe 7 days in a week or a few together. Let us build up, Lord, some new storage of energy and ability to deal with busyness by taking a break from it and having recreation, not just rest, but playtime. Thank you, Father, that you call upon your children to go out and play, to have fun, to enjoy the abundant life we've been given in Christ, to be good stewards of our own health, body, and soul. We ask your blessing on my family's vacation this week. Protect us from the darts of Satan already flying at us. Keep our shields of faith up to protect the time and make good use of it. Protect our time as a church, even today on this Lord's Day, as Satan always tries to destroy our rest and worship together in you. Protect your people, O Lord. Bless them physically and mentally with strength and clarity and acuity. And use means that you ordain, such as rest and sleep, proper physic and food and drink, and, Lord, proper play. Let us go out and play and have fun, and let us indeed be silly and childlike about it, for such is the kingdom of heaven. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and all your people said, Amen.